Welcome to Hope with Bishop Terry Hill Jr. and the Citadel Church of Jacksonville. We invite you to stay tuned as Bishop Hill brings to you a relevant word for the real world. Come with me now to a service already in progress.
With whatever I have. Can I say that? Read that verse again. Not that I was ever in need, for I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. Catch this. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little. For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. I want to talk this morning, and I do mean talk. I ain't going to let y'all work me up, because half of what I got to say today, you ain't going to like it. All right? So I'm going to do them a little lesson. And then I'm going to go find a piece of chicken. But this morning, I want to present contentment. Living life leveled. Contentment. Living life leveled. My PowerPoint may be off today because I was rushing. Glory to God. Contentment is above that. Okay, in case you can't see it, it's up there in Jesus' name. Be seated, please. October. We were on a cruise ship headed to the Dominican Republic. Where else did we go? Turks, Caicos. Somewhere else, I believe. Several members of our church were on that cruise ship. Eldoret, the Fergusons, some other. We had a pretty good-sized group that were on that cruise ship. We left here out of Jacksonville. I want to say it was a Sunday afternoon. And probably 4 or 5 hours into the ship, into the voyage, the ship the second level and leaning a little bit forward, Mama, and then seeing people literally on the first level, the floor. And I remember thinking to myself, now, I know, watching the people slide, I know this is not. When I tell you that thing, it, you know, they came back, it was only 1 minute. 1 whole minute, this boat tilted. Plates and bottles and stuff was falling. I mean, when I tell you everything on this boat tilted, this thing leaned. This thing was so traffic that when we reached the first port of call, Dominican Republic, there were people who said, I'm out. Out of here. They took a flight out of there. They did not get back on that boat. Right? There were some who walked around with a tiny I'm talking about they were sitting in the with a life preserver, ducked themselves in what they felt was now an unsafe manner. And it was interesting because once settled down, you may need to bring me that one over there. Once things settled down, nations, I'm the only one used it. I'm the one. And what they said was the fin stabilizer on the ship had went out. Thank you. And when it went out, it caused the boat to shift, to tilt. Okay? Now, what's interesting is when the captain said, "We were never in any danger." I watched people topple over. I watched the bartender trying to catch the bottles flying off the shelves. I felt my body weight press against the rail, and I reached for my wife thinking, "A death by baptism, God? Really? Like, you gotta be kidding. You gotta be kidding me." But they said, Deacon Rogers, "We were never in any danger." Here was the explanation. They said that the fin stabilizer is only for the comfort of the passenger. That the only thing about the fin stabilizer, its whole job was to make the passengers comfortable, not the crew, because the crew understands that tilting is a part of a normal voyage. But people, Elder Harriet, who don't live their life on the boat, are uncomfortable when the boat tilts. And it really struck me, Jordan, that Carnival Sunshine cruise ship is just like life. That the majority of what we feel we need for safety is actually only related to our comfort. As a matter of fact, future Deaconess Maria Barbary, most of what we pursue in life is not what's necessary for life. It's for comfort. Here's the thing that really grabs me, Tamina. We all want to level up, but nobody wants to be leveled. I told you, you were not going to like me today. As a matter of fact, we are the most perplexed in our faith when things get uncomfortable. But Jesus did not come for us to be comfortable. Too often, when we lose our comfort, we get complacent. And honestly, it speaks to the extremes of life that you and I have to learn how to navigate, and to do so successfully, because that, hear me, is God's will for our lives. God's desire is that the tilting of life doesn't faze us. I noticed then, every time that boat made anything, you know, I did anything out of the way, I watched then how the crew responded. Because once the captain told me, Rockies,
that what happened never jeopardized our safety. I had to watch people who are accustomed. Because in watching them, it would teach me how to handle if another tilt. Does anybody understand? Is it making sense at all? And I watched how the crew walked when the boat would, do a little something. You know, most of us, we walk in the boat shift, we immediately try to grab something, especially after that thing did, because we just knew. More people got saved on that cruise that, okay. But the crew, Lady Kim, the crew didn't react, didn't respond the way we did. The crew found balance. Because, and I really hope you hear this, it's the tilting that's normal. Not the comfort. Matter of fact, if your ship has been sailing too straight, something about your life is really not where it needs to be, because life is intended to tilt. You're supposed to have some motion. If I were a songwriter, I would have written these words: into each life some rain must fall. If I got too many sunny days, then I gotta know something's drying up. Okay. Let me move. Contentment is defined as simply being happy or satisfied with one's current state. Okay? What's interesting is the average Christian would tell you they are content. But the average Christian's prayers would tell you they can't handle the tilt. When we lack contentment in any life, believer or non-believer, a lack of contentment can lead to corruption, cheating, theft, and greed. Because the only reason you cheat, the only reason you are corrupt, the only reason you steal, the only reason you get greedy is when you are not happy and satisfied with what you have. A lack of contentment often results in envy and jealousy. You know, you can't make a person jealous who is happy with what they have. You can't. You can't. I remember, we drive around often, and we look at houses, we'd be like, boy, this house is amazing. When we grow up, y'all don't do this kind of stuff. We got to get this kind of house, right? And then once, we would engage, folk on the stuff we do and expect for them to respond like us. And I'll never forget, Sister Janie LeRae, she was a member of my father's church, retired nurse, amazing woman, and she was riding with us, and she didn't want to go home, so we would drop her off after church. She didn't want to go home, so we just did what we did on a Sunday afternoon. We rode around looking at houses, Sister LeRae, do you see that house? Sister LeRae say, yeah, that's a lot of yard to cut. Wasn't impressed. like most black folk looking at Christmas lights. I know that light bill high. Wasn't impressed. You know why? Because in her one bedroom apartment in Cathedral Townhouse, is that where it was? She was. So she would never be jealous. She would never envy what another person has. So if I'm dealing with jealousy, I won't admit it. I'm definitely not going up for prayer about it. I won't send in that prayer request to anybody. But if I know I'm dealing with jealousy, it's really only because when I look at all God has already given me, I'm not satisfied. A lack of contentment, consistent dissatisfaction and unhappiness can even lead to depression. I want to use this definition for the next 15 minutes on contentment. Contentment, I believe, is living the same in the worst of times as I do in the best of times, all of the time. Can I run it back by you one more time? Contentment is living the same in the worst of times as I do in the best of times. All of the time. Now, there's some who are immediately going to be disturbed by that, because for some people, living a contented life to them means we lose passion. And this couldn't be farther from the truth, because it's my opinion that passion helps us to obtain contentment. Passion keeps us from becoming complacent. The life without passion can push contentment to its perverted side, which is lethargy, apathy, and laziness. These are indications that a person's contentment has actually been exceeded. Passion contends with contentment when you can't focus on one. You got 8 passions, and you're trying to do all of them at the same time. You got a passion for cooking, you got a passion for sewing, you got a passion for art, you got a passion for styling, you got a passion for dance, and you're trying to do everything, and you are worn out when you wake up because you've not learned how to even focus on one thing at a time. And so it's the life that is discontented that has to have a bunch of stuff going all the time. That's not passion. That's chaos. And chaos is the antithesis to contentment. Okay. Passion requires a motivation. Passion needs a why. And I believe that the why must be birthed out of a contented life. When it is not, it's simply a pursuit of greater comfort. Your passion should come from a place that's already happy. Your passion can come from a place that's already satisfied. Because when the passion comes from a pure place, a place of contentment, you're not doing what you're doing or going after what you're going after just to be more comfortable. Or because you desire what someone else has. Because there's always going to be something better and greater and newer to obtain. And if the only reason you want to be a business owner is because you think being a business owner would be a quicker path to getting more stuff, you don't really need to be a business owner. I know y'all glad that I'm only going to do this one installment of contentment. John 10:10 became a contradiction for me in my preparation. I had to ask God again, well, what about where you said you claim that we might have life and have it more abundantly? Are you contradicting yourself? Absolutely not. Life is what he said we'd have more abundantly. I come that you would have life and life more abundantly. You study the Greek, what he literally means is life to the full, not a life full of stuff. We read it and we think that Jesus came that we would have life full of an abundance of stuff. And no, what he's suggesting to us is that he actually wants us to have a life that is content, a life that is full and balanced and rich and satisfying. Your relationships are full and satisfying. Your emotions are balanced, stable, and satisfying. Your experience, you know how to be in a place and enjoy everything about that place for whatever time you have, so that when you leave that place, you've got no regret. That is what it means to have life more abundantly. It means that not I'm going after another thing, another thing, another thing. It means that the life I have, I live it to the max. I contend we've spent too much time pursuing the wrong things when we must really be pursuing contentment. In the text, and I'm done right here. In the text, Paul has literally just received a blessing. He has received a blessing and he has taken a moment to celebrate the people who blessed him. He offers the celebration acknowledging the fact that there was a time when they weren't able to give to him at the level that they should have. And he, at the same time, not chiding them or condemning them, but at the same time, he instructs them that he gets it, that now they can do what they couldn't do before. He lets them know before they feel bad about what they couldn't do before that you don't even have to trip about it, because when you can and when you could not, I've always been good. Okay? When you could do for me and when you could not, I was good. When you want to be with me and when you don't, I'm good. This is what he's saying. And he then tells them in these couple of verses a few things you and I need to learn about true contentment. I'm going to just sling them at you and then we'll give benediction. Watch this. True contentment is understanding who you can rely on consistently. It is. True contentment understands it needs a solid foundation. It needs something stable. And at the beginning of the chapter, he tells them in verse 1, remain steadfast to the Lord. Stay true to the Lord. In order for you to arrive at a place of contentment, you need something in your life that ain't gonna change. And God is the only something and somebody who's not going to change. So if you really want to have arrived at a place of contentment, you got to know who you can rely on. Now, that goes beyond God, because some of us can't find contentment because we filled our lives with an abundance of people who are shaky and inconsistent. True contentment eliminates needs. I found it quite interesting that Paul would say in verse 11, not that I was ever in need. But then by the time you get to verse 18, we didn't read it, but if you look at it right quick, it says, at the moment, I have all I need and more. Okay. Paul, if you have all you need now, at this moment, you're literally suggesting to us that there was a moment you did not have all you need. But your summary during that moment you didn't have all you need is, in verse 11, not that I was ever in need. How do you have a need and not have a need? How do you have more than you need, but you don't have a need? It's because when you have arrived at true contentment, you learn what's necessary and what's not. And watch this, needfulness and necessity shifts with the tilt. All the stuff we needed on the cruise ship when we got on it was there. when that thing tilted so that our needs. When the boat, before we got on the ship, we needed to know what size were the staterooms. Before we got on the ship, we needed to know what amenities were there on the ship. How many buffet lines can we go through? But when that boat tilted, Devron, up, where is the life preserver? Where them little boats at? Like on the Titanic, we got to decide, we're going to draw straws, something. I'm on the boat. Because the needs adjust with the tilt. If you need the same thing in your down moments that you do in your up moments, you are out of balance, not the need. You're supposed to arrive at a place that you're so consistent in your life, you learn what's necessary and you learn what is not. And that's honestly the next thing that we get about true contentment. It is learned. True contentment is learned. It is not inherent to the individual. You gotta go through something to learn true commitment. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? In order to learn true commitment, Karen, you have to experience the extremes. I am a believer that no one can be truly contented who has not had some good days and some bad. Times of abundance and times where you were in lack. Now, you may not lack in the same area as you had abundance. You may have an abundance of money, but you know or you learned lack in your relationships. Maybe you had bountiful relationships, but you had lack in your finances. It's the principle of abundance and abasement, not the stuff that you find in either. And he says, I had to learn it. And then watch this. I learned that contentment is the secret. Do you see it in the text? He says, I've learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little. It's a secret that most believers don't ever learn. Because even for the believer, our prayers are filled with requests of God for more. The car you got should be good enough. And it would be if you were content. I think of how many times I've gotten new cars because I like new cars. Tyra, I'm telling you, I like new cars. I lease because I want a new car every couple of years. It's just what I want. Now, I didn't grow up like that. When I grew up, I knew how to be abased. When I grew up, Colette, I knew lack. I knew I'm over time. I knew Tia how to go out to the car every morning. Every.
You've just received Hope with Bishop Terry Hill Jr. and the Citadel Church of Jacksonville. You may order a copy of this message in its entirety for a gift of any amount by calling the church office at 904-439-HOPE. You may also write us at P.O. Box 350-414, Jacksonville, Florida 32235. When you call or write, please reference the date the broadcast aired. We invite you to share and worship with us every Sunday at 9 a.m. and every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Our church is located at 1057 Arlington Road. For directions and more information about the church, visit our website at thecitadelchurch.com. Again, that's thecitadelchurch.com. Be sure to tune in next week at the same time for Hope with Bishop Terry Hill Jr.